come on, let's go for it this year. Amen. Last week was Pastor Heather, that's right, which was very good, by the way. But 2 weeks ago, we started talking about the favor of God. And we're going to talk more about that today. But I made this statement. In fact, the title of the message was, "You are highly favored by God." That He loves you. I mean, you are highly favored. And we made this statement, you are somebody special to God. See, that's the kind of consciousness I want to get into you and for you to carry out through this year, that you are somebody special to God. God wants to move in your life. God wants to move through your life. God wants to affect you, and God wants to help you to be effective to others. Amen. See, God, how many know God is an overflow God? Remember in the book of Psalms, in chapter 23, you know, the 23rd Psalm, he says, "My cup runneth over." A lot of people call running a cup over. If you're at the restaurant and the waitress says, "Would you like a refill on your coffee?" And you say, "Yeah, I would love to have a refill." And they come up and they start pouring and it gets right to the top and you go, no, that's good. And she keeps pouring. And, no, that's good. And she keeps pouring and then it begins to run over the cup. No, ma'am, that is plenty. And she just keeps going, that's the way God is. That's the way God is, because what God wants to do, He wants to pour so much into you that is overflowing and overspilling out of you, because whatever is flowing out of the vessel is affecting everything around the vessel. See, God's the kind of waiter that would come up and He would keep pouring that Mountain Dew and keep pouring that Mountain Dew and keep pouring that Mountain Dew until it gets over, and then it's turning the table green and it's getting on your clothes, it's getting on your neighbor's clothes, it's getting on the rug. God wants to affect more than just you. So He wants to fill you to overflowing. Why? Because He wants people to have an encounter with Him. Amen. It's not just about you having an encounter. God, He says, "I am going to bless you so you can be a blessing to those around you." Come on. And that's what the Difference Church is doing, right? That's what we're doing. You say, "Well, I haven't seen much." You just hang tight. We're getting somewhere. Come on. I got to get enough of you in my boat. Right? Fellowship. We got to have some good fellowship, some Jesus encounter fellowship. That means more... plenty of fellows in the same ship. That's what fellowship is. Right? We got to all get the same vision. We got to all get the same passion. We got to all be going in the same direction. Right? Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, the Bible says that they were all in the upper room in one accord. So, you know, we know they built Hondas back then. Because they're all in one. All of them got in one little accord. That's amazing. That's a miracle. Glory to God. That is not even in my notes. That's... But come on, God. And you know what? And you know what else we're going to do this year? We're going to have a lot of fun. Oh, man. We're going to have so much fun. We're going to have fun reaching out to other people. We're going to have fun having our own encounters with Jesus. And we're going to have fun sharing that encounter with other people. And then we're going to have fun. It's going to be a blast watching other people encounter Jesus. And to know that we were part of it. It's like, I mean, it excites me that we were able to sow into what Brent's doing down in Belize, man, and hearing what he did, and that he's able to sow into their life because we've sowed into his life. Come on. Glory to God. This is going to be, I mean, it's going to be off the hook awesome. Amen. Can I tell you today, and this is what we're going to talk about, you are the object of God's affection. You are. Yeah, you need to pull a mirror out and look at yourself, right? Yes. Look at your neighbor and say, you are the object of God's affection. Hallelujah. Now look back at them and go, and so are you. Come on, we are the object of God's affection, and I can prove it. Look with me in the book of John, chapter 17. I love this verse. This is so amazing. I think maybe the first time I read it, I'm like, whoa, I don't know if that can even be in the Bible. Is that even, do I have a right Bible? Can this verse actually be in the Bible? Can this actually mean what it says it means? But look at this. You are the object of God's affection. Verse 20, it says in John chapter 17, verse 20, it says, "I am praying." Now this is Jesus. Now everybody say, this is red letters. Right? So this is Jesus, right? This is Jesus speaking. Red letters means it's Jesus speaking. No other speaker in the Bible, nowhere else, has red letters. Only Jesus, right? And it's in red letters, and it says, Jesus is praying here. He says, I am praying. See, I told you, Jesus is praying. He says, I am praying not only for these disciples, the ones that he was with, but for all who will ever believe in me through the message. Did you know you're in the Bible? Did you know you're in the Bible? It's like, man, oh man, I wish I could have been in the Bible like Peter, Paul, and James. You are. You're right there. You're right there. Isn't that cool? You are actually in the most famous book in the whole world. You're in the Bible. Right there. There you are. Right? He says, I am praying not only for these disciples, but I'm praying for Haley. Come on. Praying for Randy? Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Hallelujah. That's right. Yeah. It's right there. Yeah. Marcy? It's praying for all of you. Right. Everybody. Right? I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all of you. So Jesus is literally praying for you. Yeah. I am praying for all who will ever believe in me through their message. Right? So he's praying for the ones that you're going to carry the message to. Amen. He says, I pray that they will be one, just as you and I are one, and you are in me, Father, as I am in you, and may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. Verse 22, I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. I am in them, and you are in me. May they experience. May they have an encounter. Come on. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me. And I read all of that to read this one next part. So get your highlighter out, your pen. If you don't have a Bible you can write in, break that rule and go ahead and write in it, okay? It says, and I pray that they would know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. You are the object of God's affection. He loves you. That's what Jesus said. How many know? Jesus, one of the names of Jesus is the truth. He even said it. He says, I am, John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? So Jesus is the truth. So if he's saying it, you know it's got to be true. And Jesus says, Lord, help them to know that you love them as much, every bit as much. I know that says that, but maybe it just means not quite as much as Jesus. Maybe the authors got a little crazy with their words, you know, whatever, right? No, it says Jesus said that God loves you as much, every bit as much as he loves Jesus. That he loves you as much as he loves Jesus. Can you think of anything that the Lord would not do for his own son? Then if he loves you as much as he loves Jesus, and there's nothing he wouldn't do for Jesus, guess what that means? There's nothing he wouldn't do for you. That's called the favor of God. How many know Jesus was highly favored? His mom was highly favored. The Bible says she was highly favored among all women. But I'm here to tell you that you are highly favored of God, right? You are the object of God's affection. If we would just remember that, if we would remember that when we face encounters, when we face things, when we're going through things, just remembering, no, God, you love me. So there's nothing he would not do for you. He will help you through every situation. The Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God will deliver them out of every single one of them. Why? Because you are the apple of God's eye. You are the object of his affection. Remember that scripture we read a couple of weeks ago? It says, they were talking about the angels. It says, Lord, what is man that you are so mindful of him? Why would they say that? Because obviously, Lord, what is mankind that you are so mindful? In other words, they could tell that God's mind was fully upon us. I don't know, maybe God's sitting around his throne and he can't help, but he just can't stop talking about humanity. He's like, man, I just love them. Oh my gosh, I just love them. Man, and we got to find a way to get these people to trust me because I have so much for them. I mean, God's always talking about you. He's talking about all the good he wants to do for you. And he's not up there going, oh man, they're so rotten. I should have never created them. He's not doing that. He sees you not because of your deeds. He sees you because of what Jesus did for you. You are the object of his affection. You are the target of his favor. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes, that's right. Come on, get that consciousness. Write that somewhere. Write it on the mirror somewhere. I am highly favored of God. I say that a lot. You know what I notice? Is the more I say it, the more favor I experience. Amen. Come on. He says, Lord, may they have an encounter and may they experience such perfect unity that the world will know. He wants to extend so much favor to us that the world sees, wow, there's something going on with them that I'm not experiencing, and I can't figure out what it is. That's what God wants to do for his people. Amen. Isn't that good? That they would experience, that they may they experience, have an encounter with you, God, such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Isn't that powerful? Go with me to Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6. And this is my last verse for the day. Numbers chapter 6. I want you to see this. This is so good. God loves you. You are the object of his affection. You are somebody special to God. He highly favors you. Amen. Hallelujah. Numbers chapter 6 and verse 25, it says, may the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. Did you know grace and favor are interchangeable? Grace and favor. What is grace? We remember that God's riches at Christ, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. In other words, he didn't say God's, it would mess up the whole spelling, wouldn't it? God's riches at your own expense. Now, see, that don't even work, right? God's riches at Christ's expense. In other words, God pours his favor on you, not because you deserve it in and of yourself, but the Bible says that we have been made worthy by the blood of Jesus. So that doesn't, just because it wasn't because of us, that don't mean we should go around talking about how worthless we are, how wretched we are, how unworthy we are. How can you say that you're not worthy of the things of God? Because the Bible says the blood of Jesus has made you worthy. You're just not worthy in and of your own efforts, but you have been made valuable. Come on, God has poured value into you when he sent his son to die on the cross for you. And that puts you in a place of highly favored status with God. God values you. Come on. But he says here, he says, may the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. It's like he says the same thing twice. Listen to this, verse 26. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Grace, favor, peace. Come on. Hallelujah. I love this. In verse 25 in the Amplified, it says that towards the end there, it says that God wants to be gracious. And then it gives this parentheses where it gives these other words to help you know what gracious means. God wants to be kind towards you. He wants to be merciful towards you. He wants to give you favor. I love that. Be gracious, kind, merciful, and giving favor to you. Hallelujah. How many know that the depth, let's make sure I say this right, the depth of your relationship determines the level of your favor. Now watch this. I could meet somebody out here on the street, and they could come up and say, hey, can you do me a favor? I may go, Kind of depends on what it is. I mean, I'm not just going to go, yeah. And they go, can you give me $500? Right? But now if my wife comes to me and says, hey, Ken, can you do me a favor? I'm not going, depends on what it is. I'm going, yeah, what is it? Why? Because I'm in covenant with her. So what I have is already hers. See, the way she says it, what's yours is mine, and what's mine is mine. Right? And I say, what's mine is hers, and what's hers is hers. No, but really what it is what's mine is hers, and what's hers is mine. So if I, with God, if I have needs, guess what? He has needs. Let's flip that. If he has provision, guess what? I have provision. Right? Right. So the depth of the depth of the relationship determines the level of favor. Does that make sense? So if you don't really have much respect for God, what does he say? He said over in 1 Samuel 2:20, I believe it is. He says, those that honor me, I will honor. See, people have this misconstrued conception. Or conception. No, not that. Okay, misconstrued perception in the world. Well, God just loves everybody. He's just going to treat everybody the same. But that's not what the Bible says. He says, if you'll draw near unto me, I will draw near unto you. What's the flip side of that coin? If you don't draw near to me, I'm not drawing near to you. Doesn't mean he don't love you. Of course he does. Because his love is unconditional. God's love for you is not based on conditions. But it's the same thing like an insurance company. If you call up the day and you said, you know, I want to cancel. I haven't really even used any of my insurance. I don't even think I need insurance anymore, you know, other than the legal ramifications. But anyway, I don't really need insurance. So I'm going to cancel my insurance with you, right? Or maybe you say, I'm going to leave you and I'm going to. Really what people do is I want to leave this insurance company and I want to form covenant and relationship with another insurance company. Then you get in an accident and you call them up and you go, hey, yeah, I just ran my car up a tree. And they go, well, the insurance policy you have don't really cover that. We don't cover cars run up trees. So, well, the one that I left did, and you call them back and you go, hey, you know, I used to be in covenant with you. I used to have a contract with you. I used to have a policy with you, and I just ran my car up a tree, and I know that you guys covered that before, so I need you to cover it now. What are they going to say? We would love to, but we know you no longer have a policy with us. And that's what God's saying. He says, you're not in covenant with me. These kind of benefits are for covenant people, for people that are in policy, for people that are in partnership, people that have a policy with me. See, and that's where God wants us to put our trust in him and have a covenant with him and be in relationship with him. The depth of your relationship determines the level of your favor. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Listen to this. Favor. And because you can't earn favor, because favor is granted, it's not earned. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You can't help enough old ladies across the street with their groceries to do. You can't get enough cats out of trees, right? You can't do enough good things to get the favor. Favor is a gift. It's not earned. It's not something that you buy. It's a gift, and it's a gift from God. See, I don't extend a favor to you because you've done enough to earn it. I extend a favor to you, but just because I love you and because I want to be a blessing to you. And see, a gift and favor, the favor of God is a gift from God. So it's not something you earn, right? Let me give you an illustration of the favor of God. All right. Let's see here. Elijah, come here. No, I'm going to be accused of bias now, but I'm going to do it anyway. All right, here. Go sit down.
Oh, okay.
Did you see what he did? He didn't hesitate. This actually does turn out pretty good. Why? Number one, I'm dad. He's in covenant with me. So he knows what, you don't have to give that back, that's for you. Anybody else want to play? I'm just kidding. Come on. Listen, what are we saying? It's a gift. He didn't do anything to earn that. I just gave it to him because I wanted to give it to him. Right? And that's the way God's favor is. He gives it to you because you're in relationship with him and he wants to be a blessing to you. Amen? Come on. Hallelujah. Remember this, though. I've got Elijah on the hook now. Listen, if you want God to respond quickly to your request, you need to be prepared to respond quickly to his request. In other words, if you want God to extend favor to you, are you prepared to respond when he asks you for a favor? Right? No, you don't have to earn it. That's your 20. You just keep it. Elijah's like nervous right now. But no, this is what I'm saying. What if God woke you up at 3 o'clock in the morning and said, I need a favor from you. I need you to get up and pray for somebody. Oh, God, you just don't understand. I'm not a night person. So, but God needs a favor. Right? Once again, you're not earning it, but he's asking you for a favor. And this is what I've discovered. When I've been quick, I love this part. It's kind of like the sowing and reaping thing, isn't it? Because I've learned to, and I'm still working on it. I'm not quite where I want to be yet, but because I've been working on responding quicker to God when he asks something of me, to give something to somebody, or to go talk to somebody, or just to be a blessing to somebody. When God asks me for a favor, I've learned that the quicker I am to respond to his favors, the quicker he is to respond to my needs of favor. Amen? But it's all about what? Relationship. Right? And because we have a relationship with God, we are in right standing with God because of what Jesus did. We've accepted the work he did on the cross. Favor is ours. It is a gift from God. Amen. Amen. Let's talk about what favor is real quick and we'll wrap this up. And I gave a definition a couple weeks ago. I want to give it again just to kind of help you know when we're talking about favor, this is what we're talking about. The word favor means to endorse. It's like when I use this illustration, when someone goes to write a book and they're not a really known popular author. So they will go to people who have other books out there that is popular and they want to ask them, would you endorse my book? In other words, you write something. I don't know about you, but a lot of the books I've got, they got people in there, acknowledgments or endorsements. And it's just different authors that have written stuff or different speakers around the world that are more popular than the author. And so they want them to endorse the book because it will give their book more notoriety with other people. That's a good word. It will help. In other words, it will help their book to be, you will be more inclined to read it because you know this author, and if they're saying that this book is good, then because I know they're a good author and they're a good preacher or whatever, and I enjoy their ministry or whatever it is, you know, then if they say that this is a good book, then it's going to make me want to read the book because they said it was good. Right? That's what favor is. That's favor. Right? Favor also means to support. How many could use some favor from God? Come on. Wait till I get to this definition down here. This is going to be good. It also means to assist. God wants to assist you. He wants to give you favor. Come on. How many know it's time for us to start believing God for favor? Come on, Father. I say this throughout the week often. Father, I thank you that I am highly favored. I thank you that favor goes before me. It prepares the way for me. Hallelujah. You know, just recently, me and Heather, we sold our house, and we haven't really found another house that we're prepared to buy yet because we're just kind of being a little bit selective, right? Everything's out there is not great for everybody. So we're just kind of like, okay, well, I'm not just going to go buy something because I can. I'm going to wait for it. So anyways, but we had a closing date that is already coming on, and we had, to the end of January to find a place to live. So it's like, okay, we're trying to find apartments, townhouses, find something to where we can give them people their house, right? And so anyway, we're just kind of looking, and we looked at this one place, and it's like, let's keep looking. And so we, So we kept looking, but nothing out there was, I mean, for the entirety of our situation, for our animals and everything, it's just like, it's not a great fit. But even when we looked at this one place, you know, the lady, as we was walking out, she goes, just so you know, appreciate you looking at it, but just so you know, somebody else has already put in an application for it. First come, first serve. So basically she's saying, you know, I'm glad you looked at it, but you can't have it if these other people want it. And it turned out to be, man, that would have been a really great fit for our situation. It's not perfectly what we want, but I mean, it's a great fit for our situation. But you know, it's like, well, somebody's already put an application in. Okay, so we kept looking. But all the time, me and Heather are just praying, Father, I thank you, Father. Help us to find the right place for our situation. And then Heather sees the same place come up on the market. We called it again, and the lady calls back and says, no, it's already taken. Anyways, so here we are. And then all of a sudden, we get a call saying, hey, Candace wants you to know that place is available. We're like, what? Do you want it? Absolutely. She goes, okay, I'll call you tomorrow. I said, okay. So I go and talk to Heather, you know. Anyway, so tomorrow we sign the contract for that place. Listen, well, it's just a rental. I mean, we're not buying it. Right? But what am I saying? That's the favor of God. I mean, it was. They told me, said, yeah, they've already, people have been approved. But then she told me when she called me, she goes, yeah, I just want you to know the other people, they just decided at the last minute they didn't want it. Yeah. In other words, God says, no, you need to go over there because I have this place for them. That's the favor of God. Right? That's the favor of God. It means to endorse, it means to support, it means to assist. Thank you, Lord, for your assistance. Right? What are we saying? Favor makes things easier. Oh, I just want to do it the hard, rugged way. Well, you can use a screwdriver if you want to, but I'm using a power driver. Right? I mean, you want to grab a box of nails and a rusty old hammer and you want to hammer everything together? That's fine. Give me a nail gun. It's powered by air. Right? I mean, come on. I want to be more effective and get it done quickly, easily, and less energy. Use. Amen? Listen to this. Favor means to provide with advantages. It means to provide with advantages. How many know Jesus had favor when they carried him to the edge of the hill and they were going to throw him over. The Bible says they were going to throw him head first over the hill. The Bible says all of a sudden he turned around and walked right through the crowd and no one touched him. That's the favor of God. Doesn't matter what people are saying about you. Doesn't matter what they're trying. Doesn't matter what this economy says. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world. Listen, we are in the world, yes, but we are not of this world. We have something called the favor of God. He said, well, that wouldn't be fair. I didn't say nothing about being fair. I said the favor of God. I'm in covenant with God. I don't care if I've only been with that company for a week and I got preferred treatment and I was given a position that someone's been sitting there working for 10 years waiting to get. No, I'm in covenant with God. I have favor with God. There's nothing wrong with that. That's Bible. Right? Listen to this advantage. One guy said that advantage means this. Having something working for you that the rest of the world knows nothing about. Having something working on your behalf that the world knows nothing about. Come in other words, God's setting things up. It's a divine setup. Come on, let's just admit it, right? I mean, God is setting things up to give you favor in this situation or that situation or whatever. The world knows nothing. They don't. Man, how did they end up with that? Anybody ever heard a statement like that? Man, how did they end up with that? How did that? What about someone that goes in and they had some kind of, they were diagnosed with some kind of disease, and then they go in there and the doctor's like, I don't know what happened, but you don't have cancer. I don't know what happened, but you don't have this disease. I don't know what happened, but how many know that's a favor of God? Amen. I'll take it. I'll take it. This church is going to flow in tons of favor this year. This year. Why? Because we have something working for us that the rest of the world don't know anything about. Amen. And the last one I want to point out to you, what is favor? Favor shows special privileges. That's the favor of God. I remember I was listening to a guy talking about these kind of things, and he said that he went to the airport, and he had to get somewhere, get to a meeting, and he got to the airport, and he was flying, you know, commercial flight, and he got to the airport, and he said, the first attendant told him, says, you know what, I'm sorry, but there's no seats on the plane. They've all been taken. He goes, okay. And another person came along, saw him, recognized him, says, hey, he says, hey, I watch your show and all this kind of stuff. And he says, so what are you doing? He says, oh, well, I need to get to so-and-so, but they're telling me that this flight's booked up. And he says, hang on just a second. I'm pretty sure there was a cancellation. So, you know, they go back and they go look at the books. They come back, oh, yeah, I knew there was a cancellation. There's one cancellation, and it's in first class. Would you mind taking first class seat for an economy price? He goes, that's a favor of God. Come on. I remember a few years ago, me and Heather flew out to Maui. It's the only time I've been there. Hint, hint. Anyway, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But we went to Maui, and because we had favor, the favor of God spoke to our pastors to invite us to go with them. And so we went because they had so many frequent flyer miles. They had asked me and Heather to go. And so me and Heather, we went. And then so that was favor enough. And on the way back, we flew economy, right? On the way back, we get to the airport, and they said, We need your seats for some people that they have a daughter and it's a medical thing. So we need your seats to get their daughter back to the mainland United States for whatever it was. And we're like, okay. And they said, but we do have these four seats that is up in first class. So if it's okay with you. And of course, my mama didn't raise no fool. I'm like, absolutely. You know. So they bumped us from economy to first class, and we flew back from Hawaii to San Francisco in first class. And I want to tell you, there's a big difference between economy and first class. Right? The favor of God. Right? What am I saying? God highly favors you. God, you are somebody special to God. What he did for Paul, he will do for you. What he does for any other believer, he will do for you. What he does for me, he will do for you. What he will do for you, he will do for me. And so I thank God for that. Amen. Why? Because you are highly favored. Come on, let's lean into the favor of God in 2018. Let's go around just declaring every day, Father, I thank you that I am highly favored of you. Oh, God, I thank you that your favor goes before me. It prepares the way for me. You know what? His favor is going to get us an amazing home. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm telling you, this year, we're going to look back in December, and we're going to go, woohoo! Yeah, well, you know, the Bible says, it says, surely goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life, and you shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What does that mean? That means you're going to look behind you, and you're going to see this trail of goodness and mercy. And that's what you're going to find out in December, at the end of this year. We're going to look back and we're going to say, wow, that was merciful. Oh, remember, look at all those times God moved with his mercy. Look at all those times over here where God moved with his goodness. Oh, man, God was so good to me in 2018. Man, I got to do this and I got to go here. I got to do that. Oh, man, God's favor is amazing. Hallelujah. Okay, you may not say it as high-pitched as I just did, but hey. I'm excited because I know God's going to do some great and awesome things for us and for you. Amen. It is going to be awesome. Amen. Well, that's all I got. Go ahead and stand up on your feet. We're going to experience some things this year that the world knows nothing about. Remember, we've made that statement before that God wants us living on a level that the world is not familiar with. The world don't understand. How can that happen for you? I know you. I know the situations you face. I've seen the things that you've gone through, but yet you're still smiling. I don't understand. I mean, I knew that, but how did you end up with that? I mean, how did that happen for you? And how did that happen for you? And I just don't understand. You're like, you just look at them and go, it's the favor of God. You want something? Mm-hmm. Come on. That's I can tell you how to get it on your life. All you got to do is accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and walk in His plan for you. Walk in His plan. Isn't that what Ephesians 2:10 tells us? It says that God has predestined a journey. God has predestined a plan for each and every one of us. And there are many blessings on God's journey for you. But when you step away from God's journey and you start trying to take your own journey, well, there's not very many blessings, if any at all, over here because you're not on God's plan. But if you step, all you got to do is say, God, forgive me. I'm stepping right back into my journey. I'm stepping into that plan that you have for my life. I'm going to pursue your plan, your purpose for my life, your call on my life. I'm going to stay on that journey because I'm going to run into blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. Amen. Amen. Come on, 2018 is going to be awesome. Hallelujah. Come on, let's go after it. Let's go find those encounters with Jesus and find those encounters with favor and see God do something awesome in our lives this year. Amen? Amen. All right, you better come on. I'm going to keep on preaching. Hallelujah. I'm excited. This is going to be good.
Hallelujah. Glory.